Hello and welcome to episode 26 of the Warfield Podcast, the podcast for Starfield lore and news discussion, and we made it. The Starfield Direct has happened, featuring so much new gameplay and information about so many facets of this enormous game, and we're going to be giving our impressions of it while it's still fresh in our minds, mere hours after it ended. I'm your co-host Mitch, and for my other co-host, her refreshing and refreshing and refreshing has finally paid off because she's an owner of Starfield's Constellation Edition. It's Lexi. It took a while to calm down our next co-host. He was pooping, crying, and throwing up in a good way when I first talked to him after the direct. With the fresh knowledge that you can indeed walk around your ship while in space, it's Red Wolf.
It is Red Wolf? I just keep... Yes, I'm so excited. And man, my reaction... psychotic is to say the least. I don't really know how to. Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll be playing it on the show. Don't you worry.
Oh God.
Oh. But yeah, we've had the Starfield Direct now. It was 45 minutes longer than anyone was expecting. I guess we'll just start off with first impressions. Lexi, what did you think?
That's your question.
Well, there's a correct answer, but I would say no, it's not a trick question.
Insane. Also, just double checked. Yes, the Constellation Edition is fully sold out. As of recording, good. It is fully sold out. So if you didn't get it, what were you doing? Get off that mobile game right now. I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm starstruck. Like, the Vasco statue was like the start of it. Before the showcase even started, the Vasco statue, are you kidding? I want that 8 inches tall. Oh, that he is sitting next to my bedside table. He's gonna watch me sleep. Okay, that sounds weird.
I was just about to say that, actually. Watching you sleep, protecting you.
Oh, but in all seriousness, oh my goodness. That, honestly, it was insane. And the fact that you can get 5 days early access for the game. Like, dude. What? It's insane. So what, journalists, are they, like, going to be playing it for, like, longer? Like, just think about that. Someone could be playing Starfield for, like, up to almost 2 weeks, probably. Imagine that. Just insane. On all levels.
Yeah.
What about you?
Love it. Wolf?
Oh, man. Yeah, insane. And what was... I even, like, freaked out when they played a trailer of Starfield in the middle. I actually didn't see your reaction to that. I did watch you all. I had to go get food, come back home, shower. Like, completely, like, my adrenaline was so high. And I was like, I need to, like... So while I was eating, I watched your reactions. And that was great. And Lex was like, man's got his wish. And I was like, I did.
I saw that. I was like, I do not sound like that, for the record.
Yeah, that was just my... And I sounded like beepity boppity.
I'm not that British.
So anyway, you were right. Where was I going with it? Yeah, I was blown away. But I freaked out when I saw the trailer of it, because it was just new Starfield footage. And I was like, what the fuck?
You're good.
Hey, don't worry. We can censor it. We'll censor it.
Okay, fantastic. I lost my mind there and was like, man, this looks so much better. Man, is it obviously running at 30 frames. And then overall, once it kicked off, I was like... I don't know how else, like, it was just adrenaline. I can't even speak right now. It was just like pure, like, I don't know. It was just amazing. It was amazing. Everything that I wanted to see, everything that I wanted to know, everything that I speculated on, everything was true. I kept saying it over and over in the show. I was like, I said this would be a thing. I said this would happen. I felt so validated. And I was just like, oh my God. Amazing is the best way I can put it.
So you asked about our reaction to the first trailer that was in the middle of the Xbox showcase. Completely unexpected. Came out of nowhere. It was after some game that I wasn't at all interested in because I wasn't there when the Starfield trailer started. I was in the bathroom. I was in the middle of a bathroom
break. Back.
Yeah, so during the game before that, I told Lex in the stream, like, all right, this game's not really speaking to me, so I'm just going to go use the restroom real quick. And I brought my phone with me and kept the stream on in case something like that happened. So while I'm in the middle of using the bathroom, of course, Starfield comes on, and I'm seeing this new Starfield footage. I run down the stairs without washing my hands, and I sit back down and watch the rest of the trailer. So, if you go back and watch the stream, you can see me running down the stairs, like 20 or 30 seconds into that trailer.
That's hilarious. I love that.
So, but yeah, it was amazing. And you know, we've talked in very general terms so far, but I think one of the things that has really wowed everyone is the visual upgrade from last year. There are already some side-by-side comparisons going out of New Atlantis and Aquila City. Aquila City especially, they've changed the color palette almost completely to make it feel more Western and dirtier. There's been a huge visual upgrade.
Sorry, I've just got to interrupt. I'm terribly sorry. Todd, apparently, via IGN, has confirmed that Starfield is 30 frames on Xbox.
Okay. I was expecting it.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, it's... What did he say? It's 1440p on the S and it's 4K on the X. And they lock it at 30 because they want that fidelity. They want you to experience it in that fidelity. So... Yeah, that's just like uploaded a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Just wanted to, like, new information. We can continue now.
Absolutely. No, that's... Look at that. Live news dropping during the podcast. I love it.
So I, like, put my hand up. I was like, got a question.
I was trying to wrap up my thought for that. but, okay, so I was expecting that. I will admit that I'm not sure why we can't have the option for 1080p 60, but...
I think it would just cause a delay. Honestly. I think...
Well, it almost did for Redfall.
Yeah, like, do we want to bite the bullet?
Yes, there were some stuttering issues. Like, you raise the frame rate, but then... And it runs smooth, but then you have stuttering. And I feel like with a Bethesda game, you know, no offense to any of the devs, but... They aren't like, so we know now that on Xbox at least, Starfield is going to be 125 gigs. It's a big ass game. Jedi Survivor is almost 150 gigs. It's like 147 gigs or something like that. It is beautiful. It's also running on a completely different engine. I think it's Unreal 5, if somebody correct me. And it is gorgeous. Now you can have a locked 60 on that. You can have a locked 30 at the, you know, at the expensive graphics.
I think we've got to remember that Unreal Engine 5 has stuff like Nanite, which can helps with LODs, and you've got Lumen, so you've got advanced features that Creation Engine just doesn't have.
Right.
I think that's important.
I think the point I was going to make is just that when it comes to Bethesda games, that sacrifice of resolution versus frame rate would be drastic. The game would look way worse than it would in other games where it already looks pretty good. And then it's like an upgrade where it's like now Starfield looks really great, but then you downgrade it and it's like, it looks good. but it's running at 60. And I feel like maybe they just didn't want that. I do understand that people are upset. Like, this is next-gen hardware. You don't have any excuse. I get that, but I don't know. I don't know. That's just the only thing that I can see, is that it's just the creation engine, which has been holding them back for a long time. But after what we saw today, I don't think holding back is even in the cards anymore. They did everything. It's insane, man. So
it's an upgrade, honestly, from what we saw last year.
Yeah.
And on top of that, down the road, we might get a free update. Like, they haven't promised it, but if we did, that would be like, well, thank you for being patient. Here's the 60 FPS mode, because we needed time to do it. Because it's not as simple as like on PC where you just toggle some settings. They have to optimize that whole setting, because, I mean, you can play Fallout 4 at 4K 60 on the Series X via a mod, but it's very inconsistent because it's not optimized for that frame rate and for the new hardware. So that's where you run into the issues. I think it would be somewhat similar. And then you'd be playing at 1080p, and that could be with DRS. So if you've got DRS going on, you're going from 4K or 1080p, you might go down to 720p, and you're really going to notice that. Especially on like a 4K TV. So it starts to cause problems. Unless your TV has a very good upscaler, which you're probably going to spend like thousands on a TV that like that, and I'm not even sure TVs can do that.
Well, whatever they've done, they've done something right, because I think everyone can agree that the game looks a lot better, even in NPCs' faces. Remember last year people were complaining about their eyes? They looked a lot more natural this year.
Sarah Morgan,
believe so. Yeah,
I was like, what the fuck, she looks like she, or mom, I'm sorry,
dude, you're good, don't worry,
she looks like she had like Witcher eyes in comparison to the last time we saw her. Her eyes were like popping. I was like,
yeah, that's awesome. So were Todd's, actually. Not to be,
his eyes were popping.
Yeah, his baby blues.
He such a beautiful man.
He's blessed. So yeah, really good visual upgrades. I also wanted to transition a little bit into some lore stuff. You know, that's the bread and butter of this show. We were introduced to all the members of Constellation. We had some people like not Theo. What was the theologian? Matteo, the theologian.
Theo Vaughn, the comedian of Starfield.
Yeah. Sarah Morgan, who was the leader. There was... there were a whole bunch of them, and I don't have them in front of me. I didn't make any notes for this show so that we could get it out as soon as possible for you. But we were introduced to all these people from Constellation. And what I wanted to point out was that they all have come from very different backgrounds. They come from different professions, different planets, literally. And I'm thinking all of these different people in Constellation, they're going to have their own agendas, their own system of beliefs. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of infighting in Constellation. They're not going to be able to agree on a lot of things. There's not going to be any unanimous decisions in Constellation. And I think that's going to cause a lot of conflict in the main story, because you're going to have the guy who was born and raised in New Atlantis pulling you in one direction, and the person who is a former space cowboy from Aquila City pulling you in a completely different direction. And maybe we'll even have to pick which direction we go. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
I love... being like the world's biggest Mass Effect fan, I love that they said that, and that was one of the things that I screamed about the many times that I called this, was when they said that you can have named NPCs travel with you, and not only it's not one at a time, it's like Mass Effect where they're all there. Like, you can have a bunch of them on there on your ship, like to hire them as crewmates. So to have like Sarah Morgan on board, and then have the cowboy dude, and have it does give that like big cast vibe. You know what I mean? Like the big cast of main characters vibe. Yeah. I love that so much. It's not just like, come back and report to all of us at once. It's like, why can't you just come with me? You know, like, I just, it's so cool. I love that.
Yeah. Agree.
Alex.
Do you think Sarah Morgan's related to Arthur Morgan?
Confirmed.
Descendant.
Like Samuel Coe and Solomon Coe.
Literally the next thing I was going to talk about. So we were introduced to Sam Coe, a member of Constellation, the one who I referred to without naming, as a former space cowboy. Because of the name, we can pretty much determine that Sam Coe is a descendant of Solomon Coe, the founder of Aquila City, several generations before. It's about 150 years before the game. So, with that in mind, Sam Coe is almost certainly going to be heavily aligned with the Freestar Collective, but he's a member of Constellation, which is based out of New Atlantis. So here we have a pretty hard example of that conflict of interest appearing in Constellation. Very interesting.
Real quick, Mitch, your input volume might be a little too high. Maybe that's what's happening as far as the audio. You sound really blown out.
Oh, yeah?
I don't...
Fix it. Yeah. Is this better?
Yes, it is.
This is better? Okay. I can't hear my feedback. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like very like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like it's very blown out, but that sounds a lot better. I'm sorry for derailing. I just wanted to help.
No, you're good. No, I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, I'm sorry. So he's a descendant. I love the name Solomon. Such a cool name. And then we got Solomon Reed in Cyberpunk. So many, all the Solomons. Oh, Solomon. The more I say it, the weirder it sounds. But sorry, Lex, here you go.
I'm sorry, what were we talking about? I'm watching adoring fan memes.
Oh my god, we gotta talk about
that. Yeah, we have to talk about that. Yeah.
So adoring fan is back. When he ran out, I immediately said, "That's the same freaking voice actor." And then it has been confirmed. It is the same dude. And I was like, "I can't believe." What did he run out there saying? Was he like, "Buy Aquila"? What was he saying?
I couldn't tell. I listened back several times. I still don't know what he was saying.
But like, I thought he was saying like, "Buy Aquila." I gotta have every molecule of you.
Yeah, that's the. People have already made memes of it, like where they've twisted the dialogue.
Oh, I can't wait. God, I can't wait.
I must have been one of the only people who didn't realize right away that it was the same voice actor. Like, I didn't know that until, like, hours later someone messaged me.
I would have thought it was either a good imposter or the actual VA. I mean, who is the VA?
I don't know. It's good. I mean, he sounded old. Like, you can tell, like, his voice is, like, a little deeper now.
Yeah. So he's definitely. I thought there was some beauty in that.
Yeah, like, just, like, coming back. Like,
yeah.
Do more. Yeah, I love that. That's another thing. Like, I can't wait for, like, the Easter eggs like that. Like, even, like, the obvious ones. You know, like, Nernroot and, like, finding, you know, like, a skeleton with an arrow to the knee, blah, blah, blah. That kind of stuff. So, yeah, I love that.
It was great. That stupid yellow hair with the spike on top.
The little faux hawk, yeah. I love that so much. And then he's like, then there's ways that you can get rid of that. And shows him, like, just killing him on top of a mountain. He's like, what a beautiful view out here. And then you see, like, right, aim of the gun. Oh my god. Oh, I loved it. So I was dying laughing. I was also dying laughing when they made like a transformer.
Dude.
I was like, is this what? The fact that they were confident enough to show it, be like, do whatever the hell you want. Like, we don't care.
As funny as that was, I lost my shit when that happened. But I thought it also did such a great job of demonstrating how open the ship customization is going to be. Did you see how tall that thing was?
That's what I was going to say. I was like, so what does that mean as far as walking around the ship? Are you like, it's like an elevator?
I'm just going to say that ship, there's no way that would be realistic. Yeah, aerodynamically, like that ship would fall apart before it ever hit.
Immediately.
Before it even hit orbit. But it's so cool. And I'm glad we can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've already said I want a ship with like where it has wings and then it has like pincers. So I'm like flying and I can look left and right and I've got like these massive pointy things
coming around.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love that. Yeah.
Instead of like being attached huddled like that, I want them like outwards.
Right.
So I can look either side and yeah.
Did you see the windows that you, the cockpit upgrades that you can get?
The different interiors.
Yeah, like there's one. I'm pretty sure it was a cockpit. If it wasn't, then I'm pretty sure it was a cockpit because it had two seats, and it was like a big, like much more open cockpit area. Because we did see a couple different variations of that when they were showing all the different versions of the ships, and it's not always going to be like the little like turtle head cockpit. It's like this wide open. I was like, that is. God, I just lost. And here's something real quick that I was wrong about, and I'm so happy I was wrong. I've said it before, and I've talked to you all before about it, that I said, imagine, if you will, that at the core of the ship, it's like one rectangle, and then you build onto that rectangle, the different pieces. That is true. What I didn't think that they were going to allow you to do is add to that rectangle and make your ship huge. There's a shot when the developers were talking about what they love about the game, and the one guy says, what I love about Starfield is that when you get outside of your ship and you're walking up to it and you see how massive the ships can be, the very next shot is the shot of that same ship that you're walking up to. And if you pause it, there's a man standing on the right side of the ship and he is like so small compared to the ship. And I was like, finally, we can see like a one-to-one comparison of how big your ships can be. I was just like, I could not believe that. I could not believe that. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
it looked fantastic. What I really want to see with that Transformer ship is to see it flying around in space and the gun shooting out of the hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like his mouth or something, his eyes.
Oh my gosh.
This is so good. So good.
Genitals.
Do we want to keep talking about ship stuff? Because I want to talk about something about the ships.
Yeah, go for it.
So, yeah. The ship, you can walk around the the fact that you can walk around the inside of your ship, it makes, and then to level up the customization, making your ship huge. The home away from home is confirmed. They also confirmed bounty hunting is in the game, by saying that you can make like a little starfighter small ship that they said is perfect for bounty hunting. Mentioning it as a ship, I guess that would mean it's at least confirmed that you would be bounty hunting people in space, just like in No Man's Sky, for example, to make that. That's the only comparison I have. But in No Man's Sky, there is the Outlaw update, which allows you to hunt to bounty hunt. But you're only ever taking down bounties in space. So I would assume, you know, you could still kill them by docking on and shooting them in the face or whatever. But I would assume that you can still take out bounties planet side as well. They showed everything as far as the interior of the ship. They're like, do whatever you want, make a living room, the storage is another thing that we talked about before. How does storage work? There's like a whole stock room that you just walk into. The lady shows a lady putting sandwiches everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so good. I imagine like a bunch of storage crates that you can like upgrade and get different types of storage rooms, you know, different with different aesthetics and different, I guess, you know, storage capacity. And it shows like the weapon racks to like show off stuff. And it just like, that was like the one thing I wanted to know so bad, was just like that space fantasy has got to be fulfilled by the Firefly, like living on your ship, not just having to land. I was like, screaming. Well, there was my reaction. If it says anything, like,
yeah,
all my dreams came true in one moment. And it was
so I thought this would be a great time to pull up your actual reaction. I've had it saved since we started. So I'm going to hold my phone up to the camera and to the microphone. So audio listeners, you'll be able to hear it. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to look at my video feed and see it. This is from Red Wolf Renegade's live stream of the direct. The moment we saw the main character get up out of their cockpit in space and start walking around the ship, this is his reaction to that. So I'll just let me I'll make sure my brightness is all the way up, and then I will let it speak for itself.
Just be careful, don't get the mic too close, or we might get ear deafened.
Blow it out.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's see.
And then, which is old bot style. Did you see that visual style?
Okay, right, here you go.
Spaces in our game. It's a slightly retro and analog touch.
You can walk in your shoes.
Where everything
wow.
is
beautiful.
Oh,
so
my God. Oh. Listen, jumps at you. You can only do it at the beginning of the game.
Oh, shit.
You're perfect.
Yep.
That's perfect.
Had to do it. That was too good.
It literally sounds like I'm like coming out of like... Like when a snake like sheds its skin or something, it's like what it sounds like I was doing. It sounds like I was like pulling. I was like, yeah, like it's literally what it sounds like. Like I
it's like you were on a roar for the first time, and the first strong high just hit you.
Like a huge line of space coke.
You know, there's no better time than your first time with anything.
That's true.
Don't do drugs, but first time doing anything is always the most intense.
Yes, exactly. That's what it was. Because it was seriously, I didn't really know how to react because it was like years of waiting for that one moment for them to say yes, and I was like, I was just like, could not. Anyway, yeah, so happy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what days like today are all about. Those moments of just that thing you wanted for so long, finally seeing it.
So happy. Yeah.
Yeah. I also wanted to talk about something we didn't really get a taste of last year, but we did today, which was when it happened pretty early on and it was pretty brief, but there was a moment when we were watching raw gameplay on a kind of a foresty planet and the music faded out. And we heard just the raw planetary ambience. And I thought it sounded so good. You could just hear kind of birds and bugs off in the distance. You could hear the footsteps of the player walking around. When they used the mining beam, you could hear the rocks tumbling onto the ground. It was so beautiful.
Sorry, I was... All right. So go ahead, talk about the beautiful sounds.
And this isn't a knock against Einon Zur's soundtrack, which I think is incredible. I use it so much for Lorefield content. But I just thought to hear that sort of raw atmospheric noise was really awesome. It made me so much more excited than I even was before.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, that sneeze just like fuck or screwed me up. Yeah, look, I feel like my eyes like anyway. You were talking. Yeah, there were moments where they cut off all dialogue and the music for the show. Like the oh my god, why am I blanking? You know what I mean? They turned off the music of the presentation and allowed the game volume. And it was so cool. You hear like the crunch of the footsteps and you heard like these weird bird noises. And the atmosphere was just, and that's what I said it in my stream. I was like, this is what I wanted to see. I didn't want to see like a streamlined, you know, like you see it all the times in gameplay demos where they're showing you the potential of what you can do, but no one is ever going to play like that. Like when they show like a Call of Duty gameplay trailer or like Apex, and it's like people are flying through the air and doing everything perfectly, and I think that's what they were kind of going for in the first reveal for Starfield, and it didn't look great. I think that they ran through it a couple times and just wanted to boom boom boom, everyone dies, and everything from the music and those little moments of saying, look, this is what the game looks like when you're playing it. Listen to the sounds. Look at the atmosphere. Here's a dude running. He's going to shoot a man. He's going to miss. He's going to go into first person now. Boom, boom, boom. It just looked... I was like, this is all that I wanted to see, was like the actual gameplay. And it was amazing. And the soundtrack, Mac, one of my panel members, he was saying, why does this music sound like Star Wars? I was like, are you complaining? He's like, I just kind of threw me back. I just hadn't listened to it that much. I was like, yeah, it's Starfield. That's the Starfield theme song.
Just quickly, did anyone else notice that the Constellation Edition comes with a credit stick? So do you remember the Starfield wallet? Like the crypto key?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the game code comes on.
Oh, cool.
Like, we get our own credit stick, like a life-size one.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm assuming. I mean, it might be smaller.
Mm, like a little currency thing. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Show it to your crypto.
I can still hear. I'm just going to grab my dog.
Show it to your crypto bros.
Yeah, the other cool thing, too, about the sound is that when you realize that with 1,000 planets, presumably, I'm sure they'll reuse it sometimes, but that's going to be 1,000 different ambiences. So we're going to have, I mean, you could say there will be 1,000 step out moments in the game. Right.
Anyway, so do you think it will be Radiant Sound that they're doing?
No. No. I do think they'll reuse sounds, but if they, you know, let's say they use the same like background ambience, if the planet looks totally different, that's still a different experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Describe what you mean.
So obviously that like ambience we heard, that's going to be different from planet to planet, right? Depending on the biome, the animals that are there. They aren't going to have 1,000 different versions of that, I don't think. They'll reuse it sometimes. But yeah. I still think it'll create 1,000 unique experiences if you, you know, consider that, yeah, it might sound the same, but it's also going to look different.
Yeah, and I think because there's only a handful of, like, what comes to your mind whenever you think of the aesthetic of an atmosphere? Sandy, forest, snowy. You know, like those are like the three that we always think of, obviously, as far as biomes go. So sandy, you always have like the windy kind of stuff. Snowy, similar to that as well. And then you have foresty, which you have like the sound of wind blowing through trees and then, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think mixing it up a little bit, I don't know how that would work, you know, it's because I'm not a dev, but I would assume that you would have like a biome set and it has like a core audio to it. And then it would sort of randomize depending on, you know, which planet that you would go to. But that is something interesting to, I feel like if I think about it too much, I'm like break my own immersion. I'm like, what am I listening to
right
now? That's not a bird. I love that they showed, I don't want to go off to, well, not like we're. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. You love this? Well, yeah.
I just love that they showed so many different, like, creatures. And I thought about, I was like, again, a No Man's Sky. There is infinite amount of creatures, and they're all different. But some of them were similar. So I think that the way that they would mix that up is that some planets just don't have any fauna. Some planets will just have just the atmosphere, and it's the terrain that's dangerous, you know, stuff like that. So it does make me, because like we saw like an octopus thing, and then we saw like a flying centipede with feathers, and then we saw like these little bird things flying, and then we saw, of course, like the jumping spider thing, which was terrifying. And I was like, is that going to be like the death claws of the universe or something? The thing that jumped, you know what I'm talking about? The thing that jumped off the ceiling off the roof onto that thing and like, yeah, destroyed it.
Yeah, it looked like the thing from Prey.
Oh, right. Yeah. I tried to play that game recently.
It wasn't the Maggot Mall, was it?
No, it was like a, it was more spidery.
Yeah, like it had like these two, like, its arms were like.
It could be a variant. A variation of the Maggot Maw.
That's a thing. Yeah.
Could be. I mean, we've seen like that hive, like it's like a station that's been overrun by like something you see out of Alien, I guess. of like all the goop and all that all over the ceilings.
Yeah, I was super impressed with the amount of animals we saw. Yeah.
I did, when you said goop on the ceilings, it did remind me of earlier okay, today Mitch. On my stream.
Yeah, I'm good.
Mitch, get your head out of the gutter.
Sorry.
Well, I didn't think of it either until I was like, because I had to go immediately and play Dead Space after this because I was like, I need to get like my space fix. But there is a moment.
Speaking of goop on the ceilings, it was a good Starfield Durant.
Speaking of goop on the ceiling, you want to check my reaction to the Starfield Direct? Yeah, that was the reason I had to come back and take a shower. So it was. Have you guys seen Scary Movie 4 or 3 or whatever?
No. So I've seen 4 and 3.
Okay, you know which scene I'm talking about where he's like, ah! And then it's like, it just.
This is a PG show. Look, you've scared this entire hour.
I didn't say anything at all. I just described a thing and didn't say anything. Anyway, that was literally me. So that's going to be a gif. Me doing that, what I just did. So goop on the ceiling. It cut to like a couple different environments. And we saw like this goopy ceiling-y tunnel, like where some sort of alien creature had taken over the interior of this facility and sort of created like a nest like area. And I love that. And then we also saw what I was so curious about, which I knew that we were going to have handmade stuff as far as like little outposts here and there all over planets. And that's awesome. I think that's great. What I wanted to know is, will there be like caves and stuff like that, and dungeons? And damn sure enough, there are caves and such in Starfield. I love that. Love that.
You love caves.
I love caves.
They did answer one question I had, which was that how are they going to handle naming all these locations? And for one of the caves that was discovered, it was just called Cave. So there you go. Right. Just keep the generic name. That's fine. There's going to be tons of them.
Which would make sense because if it's unexplored, it's not going to be named. It's just going to be, oh, I found a cave. And I found another cave on this other planet, and another cave over here. That's what it is. It's a cave, so it makes sense. Yeah, good. They didn't go and try to over, and similar. I mean, again, we're not. I'm gonna try not to bring up No Man's Sky every single time, but with facilities like that, whenever you do run across one, it's the same thing. It's going to be an abandoned research facility. It's going to be a something outpost. You know, because that's what it's exactly what they are. That's why they are there. So, yeah. And they also mentioned all the things that we have talked about Starfield, wondering if it's a thing. Derelict ships, check. Space stations, check. Space yards, the big, check. They, everything that we like. I don't want to speak for everyone, but like for me, I was like, everything that I've been curious about, it has been a yes this whole time. And it's been insane. So location wise, so awesome to see all these things confirmed. And it makes me, well, the derelict ship stuff gets me. Like that was like, oh, I cannot wait for that. It's so cool. Run up on a derelict ship and you're like, oh, I'm scaled.
I'm scaled.
I'm scaled.
One really scared. Cool moment for me was sort of related to that idea of like things that we long wondered about that finally got confirmed. There was a moment and they just kind of passed over it, but it's going to provide so much content. You can flag down and page any ship you encounter, talk to the pilot, and you can probably initiate combat. You can fight them. You can board them. You can trade with them. You can, oh my, any ship you see. That's insane. Yeah. That's so many hours of content right there, and they just kind of one little passing mention.
Yep. Crazy. And dude, one of the devs even mentioned that, like, I love this because it's Bethesda at its core, which is, all right, I need to go do this thing, And on your way to do such said thing, you lose hours of like, shit, I ran into this thing and then this thing happened. And then it's like, all right, what was I doing? 5 hours just went by and I completely forgot what I was doing. And it's moments like that where you saw like where it said there was a piracy skill check and you were like, give me everything that you have. And of course, they can be like, no. And you're going to be like, well, I'm coming aboard. You know, give me your stuff. So stuff like I'm so. I couldn't believe like when it takes me back to when Todd was like, we have poured so much into this game. We can't believe how much we poured into this game. And then combine that with Pete Hines, whenever he was talking, I believe it was IGN that he was having an interview with, and they mentioned Starfield, and he was like, that game is like crazy. That's like, he said something like that along those lines. And I was like, and now you're seeing, you're like, I get it now. I get it. They literally, this game is like crazy. Like Pete Hines literally said, yeah, it's crazy. Yes. Yeah. Like hailing of, and then like a random old lady is like, hey honey, would you like to try my cookies? Come aboard. I was like, absolutely not. That is sketch as hell.
When was that?
Do you remember that?
No, there were some parts I might've missed.
Yeah, so there was a moment where you get a transmission that just says grandma, and it's a woman. Oh, it's a woman over the transmission, and she's like, "Hey, sweetie, I just cooked a bunch of cookies. Would you like to come aboard?"
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like,
I think that's totally a trap. I think that's a trap. Pot.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
But you know what? I'm gonna duck. I'm gonna go see my grandmama, and she's gonna give me lots of cookies. She's not gonna steal my ship, but if she tries to, well, grandma's not gonna be around for very long, and I'm going to take her ship with her oven.
Do you think that's Shirley Curry?
I said the same thing. It's exactly what I said.
I don't think it is. She's in Elder Scrolls 6. Although in the character creator, there was a preset that did look like her, just a little bit.
Okay.
Not like stereotyping of, you know, everyone, you know, when you get old, you get gray hair. I'm not stereotyping. Skyrim grandma is. Well, we only have one.
Yeah. An angel. She's an angel.
Yep.
If I could transition to another lore detail we learned, which is really, really cool. So obviously we know United Colonies is the capital, or I'm sorry, I keep getting it backwards. New Atlantis is the capital of the United Colonies, and Aquila City is the capital of the Freestar Collective. We also know about two other cities, Cydonia and Neon, and we learned their faction alignment today. And of course, it's a one-to-one split, so we have two cities on one side and two on the other. Cydonia is aligned with the United Colonies, and Neon is aligned with the Freestar Collective. Now, the implication here is that officials in New Atlantis and people high up in the United Colonies are not going to be allowed to go to Neon and smoke and snort that sweet aurora.
Yeah.
So that's sort of an interesting dynamic, that they will not be allowed to go over there and contribute to the Freestar Collective economy.
Hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The lore stuff
it's
is...
Good. I mean, sometimes there's not much. It's just sort of... Yeah.
It is interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then also on the flip side, Cydonia being a huge mining colony, we still don't really know if we would consider it a city. I'm loosely calling it a city, although I don't think it's really fair to call it that. All of its resources are going to go to the United Colonies, of course.
I would say because Mars is still to that day, Starfield day, in those days, difficult to be life sustaining. It's probably just used as, you know, Cydonia is a. Have you ever seen Pitch Black, like any like the Riddick movies?
No.
Well, it is a sci-fi movie, space and all that. And there are a lot of very dark, I don't know what the word to use. It's very like run down, depressing. Like people are just living in these dusty holes and trying to like, and they have a job to do. But so like they're stuck on this planet doing what they can to survive. That's kind of what Cydonia seems like to me. It seems like that like we're just here to do a job. We're working here for a few months and then we get to leave kind of deal. Not like a city to go and be and live, you know, like in a cave, because it would be. It would be like living in a cave because it's Mars, you know. Sure. And there was that shot again of that abandoned facility, which it looked like it was on, you know, it could be anywhere, but it looked like a very Mars-y planet. And the dust that was blowing across the screen horizontally looks so good. With the wind blowing and everything, and it just like those kind of atmospheric touches, like when you see a building that like you can get inside, you're like, I need to get inside. Like it's like finally get out of this dust and this wind and all this noise. So yeah, that's what I picture Cydonia being, is more not a fun place to be, but it's a necessity for trading purposes and stuff like that, mining resources.
It's gonna be very cinematic, that moment of like, you know, trudging through this desert with the sand. You described it so well, like the sand blown sideways, and then you finally get into that abandoned building and you shut the door behind you and just all that whipping violent sand. Yeah, that's going to be a cool moment.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Oh, sorry. Stephen Ford's popped up in my timeline. And he's talking about how amazing the art direction is. Do you remember when he first appeared in the community, he was like, so Starfield, and we all thought he was going to be in Starfield, and he gained so many followers, and he's not even in the game. He literally, like, Starfield was his marketing.
Not, well, I mean, do we know he's not? Did he say so?
I think there was a massive hype because he was talking about it or something. I honestly cannot remember, but I just remember he just said Starfield and everyone like latched onto it, and then he started like blowing up in followers.
I wonder if he's still like a minor character and that just hasn't been revealed yet.
It's possible. They don't. Do we actually know? Like, do voice actors even get to see the game?
Probably varies from case to case. For a Bethesda game, probably not.
He also got his own projects because he's a director. I don't know. He popped him in my timeline. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I just thought it was interesting to bring up for the podcast. Do you mind, Todd? It's not a long episode, don't worry.
I also wanted to ask, and I'm hoping Wolf can still hear me at the moment, what both of you think about the possibility of that giant arch we saw in the desert being the St. Louis Arch, and that scene actually being on Earth, a post-apocalyptic Earth?
My thought was exactly the same. No, I thought of it, but I wasn't. I was just like, it's whatever.
Carry on.
So, what do you think, Lex?
Yes. I mean, think about it, right? Earth gets hit by a meteorite or something. Think of how much rubble there will be. Buildings wouldn't exist, there would be dust collapse, there would be anything that isn't disintegrated would just be a wreck. So you could, I could picture it. I could picture that's the St. Louis, I don't know what you call it.
Arch.
Arch.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, sorry.
But
there was actually mention. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I do. If a meteorite, if it's big enough, because we've, like, on Earth, we found the meteorite impact. It's off Mexico, but it goes into the ocean itself. There's remnants of, like, the arch. I watched a documentary. They were looking for it. and they found remnants of a massive hole. Or what would have been a hole, but it's not a hole anymore. But you can see the ring. A meteorite that big? Yeah, I could see that, because that would engulf the sky. Like, for the dinosaurs, if it hits right, the Earth would become an oven. That's what happened with the dinosaurs. They cooked alive. Because if they didn't die from the impact, they would have cooked to death, because the ozone would, like... Do you know, I'm not a scientist, but basically...
The meteor coming down is so hot, and it's covering...
The clouds. It's just you can barely see the sun, kind of thing.
Right, and the oxygen is being taken away as well. So therefore, the heat is just so oppressive that they're just...
The sun wouldn't be out for years.
Yeah. So, and the ash, with the decay that ash causes, that is, the disintegration.
So, it's possible there was a mass evacuation, and that could be a remnant.
But that got mentioned. That's what I was going to bring up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there was the developer. I've watched it like four times already. There was a developer that was talking about their like going. You'll find all these different quests, and you'll get lost in these things, and you never know what you're going to find on your way. And there was a moment where you walk onto a ship, and this lady's like, "A human? We thought that we were the last people to evacuate Earth. Sorry, we haven't seen another person. We thought that we were literally the last human beings alive, I guess, is what they thought. So whatever vessel that they might be on might be very completely screwed. Like, they haven't been able to jump. And from what it looked like, I'll have to go back and look, but it looked very green. So they might have like a lot of botanical systems there to sustain life.
Yeah, I think they must have been cut off for the rest of the settled systems, right? They must have been massively cut off. And you're talking like 60 years or more.
Right.
What if the colony wars was over what happened to Earth? It was a diplomatic, like the European Union kind of like fighting each other. Mm-hmm. It's your fault. It's your fault. Blah, blah, blah. It's just political powers going on it. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. Did Earth get destroyed recently? Was it a long distant event? What is it? Like, we don't know. But it's cool to think about.
My pushback on the idea that this structure was the St. Louis Arch is that there are a lot of other tall buildings in St. Louis that come close to the height of the arch. And we didn't see anything like that. The city's also right on a river, so presumably something there, it would look kind of different in the sand if there was a river right below it.
I think it's possible that the ocean's boiled, or at least some of the river's boiled in the heat of the aftermath of the impact. It's possible there might still be oceans, but there'd probably be less rivers and stuff, so that possible they dried out.
Okay, but then that's still, I mean, there's still like a lot of other tall structures in St. Louis, so I'm just not sure I buy that the arch was the only one left standing. And
it depends, like buildings can't, in America's not built for a magnitude 10 earthquake, which could happen because they found something in the ocean that's between the equators, and it's like leaking fluid, which is tectonic fluid, which means any year, any moment, it could go up to a 10 magnitude, and the West Coast is not built for that. Absolutely not built for that. Even Japan's only built for a magnitude 8. So, no, I don't think any meteor impact, no building is going to survive it. It's going to be rubble. If not rubble, it's going to be dust due to the extreme temperatures. It really depends where it hit. And then years of erosion can also But then why is the arch still standing where the arch could... Structural reasons. Or okay. They just thought it looked cool.
I'm assuming... Well, I would bet that we will go to Earth if there are certain areas that we can actually like walk around. But because of the way... I know a lot of people are upset about the landing. If you're a Mass Effect fan, that's all that Mass Effect ever was. That's all that it ever was even whenever you went to open areas, whenever you landed on somewhere, it was a cutscene that you landed and then you got up off your ship. And then in Mass Effect 2 and 3, it was actually much more linear at times. It was much more linear in general, not talking about the big open areas. But whenever you would land like for a specific mission, you would land in an actual an entirely handcrafted area. I mean, you know what I mean by that. Like, it's meant, it's linear point to point, a level that they've created rather than like a big open area level that they've created. So I could see us maybe going to Earth at some point, and it is like this very tight, like we got to go to red zone B, you know, whenever, and you land there and it's like this very desolate, walking through rocky crags of the remnants of Earth. And it's very linear. You can't really go because everything's very tall, you know, so you can't like just rocket jump to the, you know, to the top of that kind of stuff, tunnels and stuff like that. But you are indeed on Earth. I would love to see something like that.
People have found no route. People have found no route.
Really?
Wow, really?
Sorry to be like, pick it up trivia.
Sure, let's see it.
Go on the lore field server and go to the lore channel. Viewers are going to be so confused. If I can remember, I will throw a screw.
This is what I mentioned. This is what I mentioned.
Do you know what? Actually, I will do it now because I can do that.
I'm pretty sure this image is on the ship that I just mentioned, where there was a bunch of green. They had all the stuff growing. I don't think that's Nerdin Root. It looks way too low fidelity to
anyone
be.
Anyone doesn't know what we're talking. What I brought up. Well, I'm about to put the image on the screen. Sorry, it covered. It's a weed. So pointing over the podcast logo, it's on screen now. You can see it. It saves me editing later. I can do this kind of stuff.
I can see the resemblance, but yeah, I don't think that is Nern root. The shape of the leaf is pretty similar, but
to be fair,
I think there are too many leaves.
They did change it for Fallout 4.
Too many leaves.
Oh, did they? Too many. 7 out of 10.
Too many leaves. Nern root always changes per game. This looks like Nern root more like from Oblivion, I think.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Probably wrong, but, you know, if it is, be prepared to hear that annoying sound.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, that sound wasn't in Fallout 4, was it?
I think it was. It was just less annoying.
Oh.
It made a noise, I swear it did. Anyway, I'm just going to remove that image. Viewers have had a look at it.
So,
there we go.
What did you guys think about the combat overall?
Pretty good. I didn't like the melee. It's definitely improved from Fallout 4 and 76. But it's not a focus. It's not like Elder Scrolls. I just want like kind of in-depth melee, I guess. I like the, like, you can dual wield swords and be a barbarian. You know, I want to pick up a piece of metal and call it a shield. You know, have a roleplay fantasy of medieval in space. Night
right.
Punk. New genre.
What do you think?
Me?
Yeah.
I loved it. I was really impressed. I was like super impressed because again, I touched on it before. before it seemed much more like this is what's possible in Starfield kind of showcase when it came to the Crete demo that we got, or, you know, that first look. And again, it was all mostly in, I think it was all like 95% in first person until you jump in the animation for that change a lot too. Looks a lot more smooth. Whenever you jetpack is what I mean. Whenever you go into jetpack, you're back. And the first time was like, and like now it's just very like, you know,
the fact. And,
pretty yeah. good.
So the I loved how it when it was going back and forth showing the different ways that developers are loving like how to play was such. Like, I love that so much. It was a great opportunity to showcase the diversity in the ways that you can play. And Bethesda has always been great about that. Other than, you know, Fallout games are a lot different because it's guns. It's just guns, or you're using melee.
Fallout 3 is Oblivion with guns. Skyrim is Fallout 3 with swords and shields and magic. Right. Fallout 4 is Skyrim with guns.
Exactly, yeah. So now to see like all these different abilities, we'll talk about that, the abilities. But as far as seeing that anything is possible, as far as like, if I have a sniper, can I just be like a sniper build? And it's like, yeah, you can. And like the one dude was like, I do jetpacks like Boba Fett. Like I can just be Boba Fett. And it shows him in third person going up and just like hovering in air, be like, do, 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 and just laying waste to all these dudes. And it's like touching down on the ground. I was like, so it's not, you can have a jetpack that's not just like a boost. You can like have the ability to hover and stuff. And gravity affects that as well. So everything that I saw about the combat just looked so good. I was just so happy. Everything just looked so smooth and polished. And again, it wasn't like, for the most part, it wasn't like, you know, second to second, perfectly killing everyone. It was like a lot of, like, it was believable gameplay is what I mean. You know, like you could tell, like, that's probably how I would play. You know, it was just, it wasn't like this very smooth. Every time you turn, it was just like this, you know, I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, yeah. You know, when games, like when they're turning and the camera's panning up, and which is how I play, but I'm weird. I just cussed again. Sorry, Lex. Anyway, I loved it. What did you think, Mitch?
Well, how about the fact that in zero G, when you fire a gun, it pushes you back?
It's so cool, dude. Yeah. So cool. I love
it. I wonder if the counter, or like if you're firing full auto, if I guess it would. Yeah.
Like if a shotgun, you're like, yeah, exactly. It just like slams up. You like kill yourself up against like a wall. You just like, yeah. Great. Yeah. And I love it because like energy doesn't have any like repulse. Like the, you know, theoretically, the way the energy weapons would work, since it's energy, it doesn't have any, there's no force. Oh my God, I'm trying to think of how to say it. I'm not a scientist. Isn't that weird? Surprise. But energy weapons, they said, do not cause you to move back. So in a situation where it's like, oh. I'm going on this derelict ship, there's going to be, their grav system is screwed. I'm not going to be able to shoot my gun very effectively, so I need to switch to my energy weapon here. I just love the attention to detail because it makes you approach things differently. I'm sorry. I keep taking over the conversation. Go ahead, Mitch. I'm sorry.
No, dude, you're good. No, you said it really well. I didn't have much more to add than I thought it was really cool. And I didn't catch that laser weapons won't do that, which is really cool because they're just like laser beams. There's no inertia or momentum to those.
That was the words I was looking for. yeah, those words. Yeah.
Let's see here. I'm trying to think of other things. Oh, I'll take this moment to just talk about Starfield Minute. We started a new series on the YouTube channel. I was just out for a walk and I had this idea and walked right home. And 30 minutes later, I had this first version of it. It's a daily series on YouTube Shorts that's gonna talk about Starfield in under a minute every single day. Two editions are up now. There'll be a third one coming later the day of this podcast. They've been doing pretty well, gotten good feedback about them. pretty excited about it. So that'll be something you can expect every single day, just under a minute of Starfield stuff via Starfield Minute.
Yes, yes. Love that. I didn't know who, what the hell. It popped up on my feed, and I was like, who is, why is, what's happening? Who is this? And I was like, oh, it's Mitch. Oh, my God. I love this. <That's> cool. I've just never seen you, like, in, like, that kind of lighting before. I was like, that's Mitch. Okay. Yeah, yeah, I love that.
That's yeah, cool.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate you commenting on that, by the way, on the first one.
Oh, yeah. It's all about engagement. I always try to comment because it's good for the algorithm and stuff. So, yeah.
But yeah, let's see. We might be coming to the end on this initial round. But like I said, I didn't do any research before this episode. This is literally just we got together after watching it and are just kind of rambling about what we loved about it. I apologize for not having much structure, but just wanted to get all our immediate thoughts out there as soon as we could.
Yeah. Do you guys want to run through just each one of us just? Now that we have so much of this information, what are we most excited to be in Starfield, knowing what we have and what we can do with the tools that they showed us?
I need to think.
Okay, I'll just go. This is just touching on everything that I've said, but now that it's all confirmed, they still didn't show. They got this close again with the backgrounds when they were showing character customization, and they got this close. It was Bounty Hunter was right here, and they were like doot doot doot, and then they stopped. And I was like, you. So, I do want to be primarily a bounty hunter / smuggler, good guy, sort of like the bad guy with a heart of gold. Like, I'm not killing innocent people. I'll do what needs to be done, but you mess with me, and I will find you, that kind of person. But I am the good guy, the reluctant hero, if you will.
Keep telling yourself that.
Just sort of, I will keep telling myself that until I accidentally murder, like, you know, I throw like a smoke grenade, walk into a room, and just mow down a bunch of people. And I'm like, oh my God. And I realize it's like a ton of.
It's fine. Look, I sheathed my weapon. It's okay, guys.
It wasn't me. They like take a gun, like throw it on the floor. They tried to shoot at me. So I would want to be that. That's what I'm going to go for. And now that I know that that's possible, I will be primarily living on my ship like I always dreamed of. And this is my dream game. Like, they confirmed that you can do that. And so I'll primarily be living in my ship. I will build an outpost, obviously, but I won't be hanging out there too much until I feel like it's more than just like two or three little pods, you know, like doesn't feel like very livable. Just sort of going, but you know, cause aside from the main story, this is, I guess my question is more or less just, with what we know that we can do, like I'm very interested to see when it comes to dealing with bad guys, how you can role play outside of, the main story, as far as like, you can talk to the bad guys now because you're on a quest. So I'm wondering if you like, can we hail a Crimson Fleet ship? You know what I mean? Or are they just going to light us up every single time that they see us, you know? So that kind of stuff. Like, if I hail like a Crimson Fleet and they're like, what do you want? We're going to kill you if you don't make a good excuse right here and right now. And if you don't have the right skill check, like Crimson Fleet member or piracy, you would say, I just wanted to trade, and they're like, we're coming aboard, and you're like, oh, fuck. Oh God, don't come. You know, like, I can't wait to see those kinds of moments, like how to interact, and that's what I'm most excited about, is just seeing what kind of anti-hero I can be.
I'm very excited for the quiet moments in the game, the lonely moments. I want this to be a lonely game.
Exactly.
At times, pretty frequently. So I think one of the things I'm most excited to do is set up an outpost, just like a comfy little cabin on a planet in the outskirts of the settled systems that's full of like beautiful animal and plant life, but not full of people. And just kind of chill out there and just soak it all in. And oh man, yeah, that's going to be great.
I forgot to mention that I will not make an outpost until I find that heavily wooded forest like we saw. We saw it before, but now we saw more of it in this. Finally got to see more of it. I will not make an outpost until I find that planet. Because I feel like it's such a waste of time. You know, it's like, why you... Like, I'm just going to build an outpost on this dirty rock. And it's like, oh, now that I found a beautiful planet, I got to pick up all my stuff and I'll waste all... You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm with you. I have a beautiful planet where you wake up and you... Yeah, I love that. What kind of is that? Would you agree? Would that be the typical planet that you would want to put your outpost on? Is a foresty?
That's how I imagine it. Yeah, like a misty, beautiful forest, kind of Pacific Northwest kind of vibe. Yeah,
1,000% with you, Lex. What's your typical outpost atmosphere? What's the the demographic? Help me, geography. that you would be looking for as far as your paradise planet. Like what is the Lex planet that you want to build an outpost on?
I want to be a moon near a gas giant.
Oh. Okay, that's possible. We kind of saw a little bit of that.
We did.
And the reason I want to build it in an obscure place, though. I don't want to build it where the popular locations are. You know, top 10 best settlements to place.
Right. Yeah.
I don't like the most popular, but it's all expanded now, so you won't have little settlements, big settlements. You'll just have your settlement or settlements.
Yeah,
it's up to you. Yeah. I just want to have that view sometimes of, depending on the orbit, of just, wow. Like, as the planet, because the atmosphere and the planet, like, mix. So at nighttime, you can see the planet perfectly. But when the atmosphere, like, in the daytime, you can barely see it. It's, like, ominous. It's like there's a black hole in the sky.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, awesome. Good question. Do you think we'll find a black hole? Do we know the nearest black hole in real life?
In real life, it's the center of the Milky Way. That's not true.
That can't be the closest.
There's a supermassive black hole at the center, but there are other ones. That's a good question. I don't know where the closest one is.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, Lex, we did not hear your answer to the other question, which was, what's like the first major thing you're excited to do or like play as?
To be honest, the first thing I'm going to do is nerd out. Like, is that acceptable?
Completely, yeah.
It's like when I first played Fallout 4, I was glued for 11 hours until my body was literally aching and it was like, go sleep. And I was like, fine, save the game and crawl into bed and you just feel like, you feel awful. As soon as you touch that bed, you feel worse. You're like, why does everything hurt? And it's like, you've been playing 11 hours straight, you've skipped sleep. You deserve this.
Right.
That's not going to happen this time because it's probably going to have a global launch. So actually that will be better for my sleep cycle. Don't forget, Mitch, you'll have to play it at 5 in the morning if you want to play at launch, if it's global. So
wouldn't it be 7 p.m.?
No, because it has to be Pacific time. Pacific time's the last time zone to... So there's 8-hour difference. It depends. It depends if it's dead on midnight in Pacific time or if it's Hawaii time.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. Sometimes it can be launches 10 a.m. London time, which would be 5 a.m. your time, yeah.
Oh, okay. I always thought it was GMT midnight.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you're 5 hours behind, then it's another 3 for, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
So the question was, what are we going to do as soon as we get into it?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, knowing that Bethesda allows us to customize every single part of the control layout, I'm already like thinking about how I'm gonna have the controls.
Can we chi bind? So if I want movement to be L stick, but I also want sprint to be L stick, but when I press it in, can I do that? Or if I double tap LB, will that is
I hope so.
Like this is what I've always wanted. If you, what's your input? Double tap. If you double tap it will go, okay. If you double tap it will do this. If you one tap it, it will do this. That's what
Ubisoft
that's
does this so well.
That's
Far Cry 6.
I've wanted this since Fallout 4.
I agree.
Because I've always had to make Y jump. Y is the button Y has always been my jump and it's always annoyed me.
Yeah.
Because I can't like, have A B both interact. I can't have both A B do stuff and jump.
Yes. I so agree with you. Like I so what I did is Far Cry 6 did this. Ubisoft is so great. They're so good with accessibility options and they allow that. So like they have double tap, they have hold, they have toggle and they have like press. And so like Far Cry 6, for example, I think I started doing this whenever I started playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, where there was so much stuff to loot. I got tired of reaching down with my thumb to press A and then reach up to look around and press A and look around and press A. So games where there's a lot of loot, I like to be able to keep my thumb on the stick. So I have gotten really used to having the right bumper be the interact button. I know it sounds weird, but I have it on Dead Space. And what I love about it is that games like Dead Space, where there is actual button prompts involved, when you change your scheme, it shows it on there. So whenever I walk up to a door on Dead Space, it pops up right bumper, open door. And I'm like, it feels like it makes it feel natural, I guess. So Starfield has that as well. It has the press A button to open the door. So yeah, I hope that they have more accessibility options than just everything is a press or a toggle and that's it. So we'll have to see. I'm really interested. But yeah, so that'll be the first thing that I do is because we know that B button is going to open up our inventory and that left bumper is going to be jetpack and stuff like that.
I'm sorry. B has to be sneak. B has to be sneak for me.
Ooh.
What?
It's right stick for me.
I have to. Like, B, I'm used to... I grew up with shooters, so that's what I'm used to is B is crouch.
Right. I get that. I totally get that. Yeah. X is reload, A is jump, Y is switch weapon, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It would be...
So, I couldn't get the Starfield controller because I've bought enough. I bought the Vasco statue and... the Constellation Edition. So the controller layout would be broken anyway. You know, they've put all this detail. This is what this does. This is what this does. Oh, I'm going to change everything.
Yeah, it's like X is not throttle anymore or target. It is now.
So if I give that, so if I did get the controller and I handed it to a friend, they'd be like, okay, so this is that. Why is it not working?
He's like, nope. You have like a bunch of tape like on it, like and you wrote on the tape that you've it's like no actually it's X it's actually
right. This is a random thought, but you were talking about tape. It reminded me of something for some reason. Tangent, I do this a lot. Welcome to the Lawfield Podcast.
Oh, I'm right there with you.
When we're a law show, we're gonna be talking about all kinds of law topics when we're trying to be talking about one. I was playing Oblivion a while back before I got into Final Fantasy 14. I wanted to get up my athletics and like the running speed and jumping. So what I did is there's this dock in Anvil, and if you position your player right and you just move forward, you can infinitely swim, get infinite air and gain up your running skill. And then what you do is I had a controller and you tie an elastic band around the trigger and move forward. So behind the trigger, sorry. And then turned off my TV. So I'm swimming all night and when I wake up, I've leveled up like 20 levels.
Jeez.
I don't know why I thought of that, but that's a trick you can do in Oblivion, everyone.
Nice. All right.
Also, if you join our Discord server, I might be making Adoring Fan Starfield soundboard effects for the channel. So if you're on a voice call and you've got Nitro, you can play the Adoring Fan and really spook your friends.
I'm going to buy a Keela, buy a Keela, buy a
Keela. I will worship your molecules.
He's like, link in the description below.
Molecule. Yeah, I love that.
So I've got work to do tomorrow for that.
Awesome.
Something I'm sorry, Todd.
Oh.
I completely forgot about him. There we go.
Oh, poor Todd.
It's been a long day for him, so.
Yeah, he's probably tired. He's trying to sleep. Before we close out, I really, really wanted to mention Stars for Change. It was an event that really wasn't, it didn't have its genesis until maybe a week before it happened. I think it was DeMarco Dude's idea. He just reached out to a bunch of fellow Starfield creators, us included, and held an incredible event, raising money for St. Jude Children's Hospital, Children's Research Hospital. The goal was, I think, $500, or was it $1,000?
It was going to be $500, and then he talked to someone more or less pessimistic than myself, and they said, have faith, my son. And they kissed him on the forehead, and he said, fine, and he did it. And, yeah, it turned out. Well, you go ahead.
Well,
did you notice the camera angles less zoomed in this time? I can hear your cat. I can hear your cat. It's adorable.
I'm about to like throw him out the window. He keeps yelling at me.
It's adorable. What are you talking about? Evil wolf. I know you're a wolf, but, you know. Be nice to your kitty.
I love him. He's a baby.
Aw.
He's like, help.
Less zoomed in. I don't know if you've noticed that. It seems less zoomed in.
In dialogue?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, if that's... I'd have to rewatch, but if that's true... Because I've seen a picture now. It looks less zoomed in.
Okay.
That's what I wanted. I don't like the Oblivion where you're like...
Yeah.
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 So... Are you saying that it is less zoomed in from before?
It seems
like it.
Yes,
it is, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Yeah.
So they took those criticisms. Wow, they were listening. That or they noticed it themselves.
I kind of like the Oblivion zoom, but this game has enough shades of Oblivion.
It's not immersive for like... Yeah. It's not immersive for like... That's like talking to someone in real life when you're like an inch away from them, so you're like really close to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh god.
You're like you're basically kissing your friend. Like that's how close you are.
Yeah, like you get back from your ship and you're like, "Hey, I've been waiting for you. How did the ship out of the run go?" And you're like, "Bro." Yeah. But that's the thing. I did mention, I wonder if we do have accessibility options that we can pull the camera back, like dialogue, camera distance, that kind of thing. So
FOV is going to play into it. FOV slider, a good FOV slider, please, please, please. Fallout 76 had one. Please, please, Todd, please.
So Stars for Change.
thank you.
Sorry, I'm all over the place tonight.
No, all good. It's an exciting day. We're all over the place. Wolfie said the goal was $1,000. DeMarco and the whole team, of which both of you were a part, crushed it and raised over $2,000, over double the initial goal. It was an amazing, incredible event. So positive. So many great creators. It'd take a long time to list all of them, and I can't remember them all. I played a pretty small part. You guys did a Starfield Kahoot during it. I made about half of that alongside DeMarco. That was my contribution. And I was quite heavily emotionally invested into it. So I can't imagine the elation that the two of you had when the goal was exceeded as much as it was.
Well, first of all, DeMarco, shout out to you, bro. He put his heart and soul into this. My only real... DeMarco came to me and said, I'm thinking about putting this thing together. Like, we could get some big names on. Like, I won't name them because they didn't come on because... whatever. So, and I was like, that is an amazing idea. And I got so excited. I was like, whatever I can do to help, just let me know. And I didn't really do a whole lot. Just tech support, helping him figure out stuff as far as like testing and stuff like that. And the Kahoot thing, I wasn't really sure what that was until once I got into it, I realized what it was. Like, you set it up trivia because you guys are the lore people. So, I found out very quickly that I don't know anything about Starfield because, and it's funny because like typical trivia, you have very similar options, and there were a couple things like years, and I noticed certain years that were very significant that were tied to lore. So I was like, oh yeah, this happened in 2130, and it's like, no, it didn't. But then the next answer, it was 2130. That is a significant name, but it was not tied to this event that happened in the lore field. So I was like, my brain was like, you're almost there. Like, yeah, you're light. You're hanging on to. It was so fun. It was so fun, and I can't, all the work that went into that. That was so cool to be a part of and to put that together. And I was just on a different level as far as just like I couldn't. It was such a like today was one level of adrenaline, and that was a different type of adrenaline. Because of the, it was so much positivity, so much support, and just like endless, just the community was just incredible. I can't even, and I'm over here just trying to take all these questions down basically and keep up with them. And we had like these two people that asked like 70 questions. They were like, I need to milk, this panel for all their information. I was like, I know how I would feel. I'm going to jot these down, you know, and get as much as I can. And we did, we got all the questions down. And let's see, Jessica Starr was on with us. We had,
she was great. Marco,
who, yeah, she's awesome. And we had, Dave. See, this is the thing. I'm gonna start naming people and I'm gonna forget their whole thing. I'm gonna feel like an asshole or an A H. I guess hole's not a bad word. I don't know why I censored the hole. anyway, it was an amazing time. And to see so many people, so many Bethesda, passionate Bethesda fans come together to do something good like that, it was incredible. And I would tell you, DeMarco was absolutely 100% in tears in the middle of the show, and I had to, he was like, just say something, take something away. And I was like, okay. So we had some questions here. He was crying. I mean, he, cause he put so much effort into it, and a success is not the way to describe that. It was more than, and I felt bad. I was like, I learned a lot too. I was like, you really don't, you know, I'm sort of a realist, you know what I mean? And I have a very pessimistic side to me when it comes to human beings. And, that community, or this community, mixed with that panel, mixed with you guys and everyone that had a hand in it, brought the best out of a community, the most positive part of a community, and it was incredible. And we did a good thing for someone out there. It was just, I could go on and on. It was such an amazing thing to be part of.
Very well said. The entire VOD of the full event is available on DeMarco Dude's YouTube channel. And I'm sure we'll talk about this event again next time DeMarco's on, which is hopefully the next episode. He couldn't make it today because he's cranking out his own content for the Starfield Direct. It's a busy day. So yeah, that was just such a resounding success, and I'm so happy and proud of all of you. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes.
Any closing thoughts before we wrap up here?
Well, the adoring fan, I've just been in a conversation about this on chat. the adoring fan, can we annoy, like, Crimson Fleet Pirates? Like, we can bring him with us. Like, he can be on our crew. So, can you just, like, annoy? Just so the Crimson Fleet Pirate, he wants you gone so bad because of this guy that he just gives you whatever you want. He's like, just, I'll give you whatever you want. Just leave. Get that guy away from me. So he's like, molecules, I am going to worship your molecules. This I am.
So I give the adoring fan the go here command, like in the middle of a group of enemies, and he'll just start blabbering, and then
it's of course.
shortcut the game. Like, just get him to annoy everyone.
Yeah, they like have all these guns trained on him, and he's like, oh, you must be followers of him too. And they're like, and he's like, master, and he looks up at the camera. He looks up at you.
By Aquila, by Aquila, by Aquila.
Yeah, I don't think he's saying that, Mitch.
I don't think he is either, but that's what I'm saying.
This thing we've got.
Yeah, that's all we got, yeah.
I need to go back and look at it, because it was, it's going to be iconic.
Do you think he's...
The fact that he's back is just...
Do you think he's calling out some sort of deity? Because he's...
Yes.
Yeah,
Because what if that's a serpent god, right? What's that sound like?
We saw that too, by the way.
We know the names.
I saw that my reaction pulled up. Oh. Sorry.
We know the names of all four religions in the game. Well, I should say we know the names of four religions in the game. So we can probably look through those and see if that has any hints as to what the adoring fan was saying.
I'm about to find it. Wait, hang on. Sorry, that's me screaming.
Completely optional, and they come with their own advantages and disadvantages. You could choose to meet your biggest fan.
No fucking way. So that was my reaction to the adoring fan.
There is no way Wolf ever gets monetized.
Never. It sounds like he's saying Vectera. Vectera, Vectera, Vectera.
Vectera, that's what it is. That's a planet or a system in the game.
There you go, yeah.
By Vectera? I bet it is Vectera.
I feel about this planet that he's going, by Vectera, by Vectera, by Vectera.
I don't know. Yeah. Interesting. I think you're right, though. That's probably it.
Yeah. Yeah, all so right. That's there you go. And there's another reaction. I just need to do like a reaction video.
You should make a compilation. That'd be great.
Right, yeah.
Red Wolf, where can we find you?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Mitch. It's been a long day. you can find me at Red Wolf Renegade on YouTube and on Twitter. The only Red Wolf Renegade handle cleared on Twitter, Red Wolf Renegade, everywhere and anywhere. And I have a podcast every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will be talking about nothing but the, well, Starfield, obviously, and on next week's show, coming tomorrow, I assume, by the time that this is released. I don't know. If it's Monday right now, listen, I just told you it's Tuesday, okay? Get off my back. I don't know who you are. I love you. I'm sorry. Thank you for being here. That's where you can find me.
Starting this week, I can watch your show live, by the way.
Oh! Fantastic!
It's Monday here. And you know that. It's Monday right now.
That's true. That's true, yeah.
It's 2 o'clock, darlings.
Goodness.
Oh, it is.
It's 2 o'clock here.
It's not quite as late here, but I do have to edit the show before I go to bed, and I have work in the morning.
Edit the show? Who says I'm sending it tonight? I'm joking.
Oh, please. We're Lorefield. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/Lorefield. Find the podcast, Tales from the Settled Systems. Episode 3 is still in progress. It's coming, promise. And we've got Starfield Minute now, daily shorts too. I give you a little bite-sized piece of Starfield information every single day. We've also got Twitter at LorefieldNet. On Twitter, we post news and updates about the game. It's a fun place over there. I think by like follower subscribers, that's where we are most prevalent, if I'm not mistaken. And then actually, it might be the Reddit, so the lore subreddit for Starfield, r/Warfield. And we're also on Discord. Yeah. I don't know which one's higher. I haven't looked, but
the lore subreddit, 1.3k members. It's a growing community. Remember, that has little to do with what we do here, but we do run it. It is a part of Lorefield. You can find all the links on there, and it's all about the lore. Obviously, we keep saying this. This is for the new viewers, but lore subreddit, r/Lorefield, we're going to make it a wholesome place.
Wholesome place.
And with the lordship coming,
1.3k.
If as we grow, we might start hiring mods. So look out for some posts on that when the traction picks up. So don't forget to share the subreddit. Join the Discord. Actually, our Discord's not very active, but it's picked up because of the event. Like, if we could get that server, our server active, it would be awesome. Truly, it would be awesome.
Yeah, there were some really good conversations.
And don't forget to follow the podcast on Spotify if you haven't, or your favorite podcast site, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. And don't forget on YouTube to subscribe, because that helps massively and helps us with the algorithm, I believe. Also the like button. Yeah, don't forget to smash the like button. Get your mouse and smash your head on your mouse to like that button as hard as you can.
Awesome.
Okay, don't actually do that, but hit the like button, hit the subscribe, hit the follow button, depending what platform you're on. And yeah, that's pretty much it, everyone.
You're better at the outro than I am.
I'm a bit raw with the outro.
Yeah. I'm not as good at the raw part. If I do a script, I'm okay, but ad-libbing it, you're a lot better than me.
I have a random brain, so...
Oh, well, maybe it complements that skill then. this was episode 26 of the Warfield Podcast. Be sure to stay tuned for episode 27 coming in 2 weeks-ish. We're going to try to do them more frequently now that we've got more information to talk about, and we're kind of in the rounding third base as we approach the release of the game. But stay tuned for that. Hopefully, DeMarc will be back. And yeah, thanks everyone. We'll see you next time.
12 and a half weeks.
Bye.